where I grew up, considering where I grew up, it was a fairly Catholic city. There's a lot of Catholic churches, Catholic schools. We had a great Catholic, it's called the CSAA, the Catholic School Athletic Association. We had a great Catholic environment. However, there was a time when the faith was not being proclaimed that well. And so there's a mega church where I grew up now, and it's so kind of mega that they, gosh, maybe 20 years ago or so, they built this like 9,000 seat worship space. And this church, this Protestant church, is populated by 40% of its people, if you will, its congregation, is constituted by ex-Catholics. And because they're, you know, to this mega churches, this church, to their credit, they were really good about preaching the Ten Commandments. And they had really good preaching, where the church where I grew up, the diocese where I grew up, wasn't so good at it. They, you know, a lot of lukewarm Catholicism going on there, and a lot of lukewarm homilies. You weren't clear what it meant to be Catholic. And I tell you this because some of my neighbors and one of my good friends growing up were a part of this mega church at its beginnings. And so they were very good about asking people to come join our church. And so my neighbor's mother, who's friends with my mom, asked my mom, "Why don't you guys come join this church?" And my mom, you know, because of what she was experiencing at our parish and in the local church, was kind of like, you know, kind of thought about it, but she's like, "There's no way I can leave." She was tempted, but she's like, "There's no way I can leave for two reasons: the Blessed Mother and the Eucharist. No way." And so, you know, obviously she didn't, and we didn't. We stayed. And I provide this story to you because implicit in my mother's decision is that faith, not only in the truth of who the Mother of God is for us, and not only the faith in the Eucharist, but its connection with our salvation. Do you understand that to be saved means or involves belief in the Eucharist? Jesus says it in today's gospel. He says it in the Bread of Life discourse. Before we go further there, let's just ask the question, what is salvation? What does it mean to be saved? To be saved means to be converted from a life of sin into a relationship with God, to have that relationship with God restored, that friendship with God restored. To be saved simply means communion with God, specifically entering into that divine life, the inner life of the Holy Trinity, that communion of life and love. And remember, sin blocked us from that communion. That's why the Father sent the Son into the world to perform the work of salvation. The Father sent the Son into the world to save us. To save us from what? Our sins. We needed to be saved. We don't earn it ourselves. God has to do the work, and He did. Through the passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus and ascension into heaven, we are saved. By those actions, we are saved. And so now we are given the grace, right? We are saved by grace, not by our own efforts. Salvation is a gift. And that gift is given to us when? It's first given to us at baptism, like we see in the Acts of the Apostles. The Ethiopian, this eunuch, who was, by the way, that word just means he had some pretty important role in the administration of the Ethiopian government. I think he was the finance chair. And so this was a big dog. And he was trying to figure out this Messiah thing. And he was perplexed by what the apostles were perplexed about when Jesus walked the earth. Just like the apostles were, and the other disciples, this eunuch was thinking that the Messiah had to be some great political figure. He's going to come and conquer. And so he was perplexed and stumped by the fact that Isaiah was talking about the Messiah being a suffering servant, being someone who's going to be crushed by his enemies. And Philip came along. He's like, yeah, I was stumped by that too. But let me explain what this really means. That the Messiah suffered because he brought death into a headlock, into the netherworld, and he crushed it. The Word became flesh so he could take on a body that could die, that could lure death to him and bring him down into the mat, bring him down to the netherworld, and then by the divine power, crush him. And he did, and he rose victorious over the grave. And now we get to share in the merits of his victory. And so that's what happened to the Ethiopian eunuch. He was baptized and he was saved. And what that means is that grace not just came upon him and covered him, or it wasn't like Jesus, God declared him to be righteous, he became righteous. Because that's salvation. Salvation isn't a legal declaration from God. Salvation is God infusing the life of grace into our hearts and changing us, transforming our hearts to fulfill exactly what the prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel foretold, that God is going to take from us our stony hearts and giving us natural hearts and place his spirit within us so that we may live. That's salvation. And that happens at baptism. And we are born again. We are born supernaturally in God. And we start living the life of grace. But it's not just about baptism, is it? It's not. Jesus makes it clear that eternal life doesn't just have to do with being born again. It does, right? At baptism, we're born again. But it has to do maintaining that life of grace. Why? Because we can lose it. And that life of grace in us can grow weak. The love of God that's infused in us can grow weak. And just like the body, like our bodies, we need continual nourishment, right? We put in a hard day's work. We're tired. We come home and have dinner. Or, we eat throughout the day, three meals a day, and then some. But the point of it is to replenish, to refuel our bodies, we need to eat physically. And just like our physical bodies need food, so spiritually do we need food. Do we need nourishment to continue in and grow in the life of grace? And that's especially where the Eucharist comes in. And so this is why Jesus reveals himself as what? The bread of life. Because Jesus recognizes and he knows that man does not live on bread alone. That we need to be spiritually nurtured. And this is why he says, I'm going to give you this bread that's going to allow you to live forever. And he says, the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And in tomorrow's reading, he will make it even more explicit about the connection between eternal life and being saved and the Eucharist. And I make this point because we as Catholics take this for granted. We take it for granted. We don't realize the power of the Eucharist. We don't, number one, we all know that most Catholics don't even get what the Eucharist is about. Some don't believe in the real presence of Jesus because they're never taught. I was never taught in my Catholic education that Jesus is really present in the Eucharist. I don't recall being taught that. Never. K through 12, never. It was never emphasized. Never. Never. And so you can understand if the Eucharist is such a central part of our faith and such a central part of our salvation, if that's not emphasized and that's not spoken about, you can see why people can get picked off by Protestants. And God bless Protestants, but, you know, as I say and I will continue to say, I'm not attacking Protestants themselves, but I will attack Protestantism. Most of what Protestants believe is not biblical. I don't know most, but a lot. Like, it's very clear in what Jesus says about the Eucharist. Very clear. You have to do mental gymnastics to try to say, well, Jesus is just speaking figuratively. No, not at all. Jesus is very clear in the Bread of Life discourse what he means. And the people are very clear at what he means by their reaction. And so, anyway, it's sad that the Protestant Reformation happened insofar as it caused a whole group of people and generations of people to follow to be separated from the Eucharist. It's sad. But let me go back and explain just exactly why. And this has to do with why the Eucharist is so central to our salvation. And by the way, you know, this isn't saying that just because if you're a Protestant, you can't be saved because you're not receiving the Eucharist. I'm not saying that, because God works out all that stuff, right? The church is that through which all are saved, and so some people are joined to the true Church of Christ in various ways, but God works out those details. There's such things as invincible ignorance that helps to save people. But anyway, here is what the Catechism says about the significance of the Eucharist and its nurturing of our life. It says, the principal fruit of receiving the Eucharist and Holy Communion is an intimate union with Jesus, right? We know that. And he says, life in Christ has its foundation in the Eucharistic banquet. And he quotes what you'll read tomorrow in the Gospel of John, as the living Father sent me, Jesus says, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, who feeds on me, will live because of me. And then it goes on, the Catechism says, communion does this, Holy Communion does this. It preserves, increases, and renews the life of grace received at baptism. This growth in Christian life needs the nourishment of Eucharistic communion. In other words, it's not an option. We need the Eucharist. We need it. If we are going to persevere in grace, we need the Eucharist. And then it goes on to say its effects in our life and helping to preserve this life of grace, this holy communion with God. It says communion helps to separate us from sin. The Eucharist, it says, the Catechism says, cannot unite us to Christ without at the same time cleansing us from past sins and preserving us from future sins. It says, as I mentioned earlier, as bodily nourishment restores lost strength, so the Eucharist strengthens our charity. By giving himself to us, Christ revives our love and enables us to break our disordered attachments to creatures and root ourselves in him. And in this point, I'm going to say, I know that pornography is like an epidemic or whatever kind of epidemic you call it here, not only in America, but in the world. And the Eucharist, Our Lady too, and the Eucharist especially, is key to overcoming that addiction. It is key. Because in the Eucharist, when you really believe and you nurture yourself on the life of God and the love of God and the grace that he comes to give you in the Eucharist, it helps to free you. Because oftentimes these sexual addictions are rooted in the idea that someone is just looking for love. Like G.K. Chesterton said, what do you call a man in a brothel? He's a man who's seeking union with God. He's just looking for love in all the wrong places. But when you feed on the love of Christ, you satisfy, like Jesus says, you satisfy. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. And that's especially meant to take place in the Eucharist. You know, you satisfy the hungry heart with bread of finest wheat. And then the last thing here is, by the same charity that enkindles in us, the Eucharist preserves us from future mortal sins. The more we share the life of Christ and progress in his friendship, the more difficult it is to break away from him by mortal sin. And that is why the Eucharist is so essential to eternal life. Jesus truly is the bread of life. And brothers and sisters, may we, during this Easter season, Easter season is about renewing our faith, making it stronger, making it more alive, especially regarding what and who saves us. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot. Faith is not a self-help program. It is a gift from above in which we are to receive and depend upon with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, recognizing that without Jesus, we can do zero, nothing, nothing. And this is the faith that then leads to a life of trust in God and in what he has revealed.
Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you. Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.